Hello and welcome back to the Church of Jesus Christ study session with Come Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts and this is Season 6, Episode 7 of this daily study podcast. Thank you so much for joining us once again today. As I kind of made a mistake working out what I'd be doing today for the episode, I've started a new kind of schedule where I record the episode the day before. I used to do that a while ago actually, and then I switched to recording it on the day and restarting doing this podcast. I wanted to get back into that system of recording the day before, but of course I forgot that as I was recording on Saturday, the episode I was publishing yesterday was recorded on Saturday, meaning it was the end of the week. Therefore, the episode I'm recording today, which for me is Sunday but for you listening is Monday, we're actually not now going to look at the last chapter of the reading that we looked at last week with Alma listening and believing the words of Abinadi and the death of Abinadi. So we're not going to cover that, which is a bit of a shame, but it just shows just how much there was in the study last week and how much depth and learning we can get. As was tradition previously on the podcast, on the Monday episode, I'm going to study something different from the Come Follow Me study, just to give myself a bit more time to study and to get resources and materials for the Come Follow Me sessions 6 days of the week. But on the seventh, I'm going to share something else that either I've been studying myself or something that I've reflected on recently, or a general conference talk from the recent conference or something like that, just to kind of give a bit of variety. And also, again, as I said before, give myself a bit more time to study the Come Follow Me materials to have a more in-depth 6 days rather than a rushed 7 days. Now, I thought this would be a great opportunity for us to do something which, since the general conference, we've been invited to do as a membership of the church, which I have been reminded of a few times in different places, state conference, a couple other talks, in my own notes when I've reviewed my notes from general conference, and that is an invitation from President Nelson to study Doctrine and Covenants section 109. So I thought, well, what better opportunity do I have to kind of make sure I do it and to record some thoughts than by doing it here with you. So I'd forgotten before I opened Doctrine and Covenants 109 in preparation for this how many verses there were, so this may take us a good few weeks to get through, but it is really packed full of wonderful insights and thoughts. This is of course the dedicatory prayer given at the Kirtland Temple. My son and I just attended recently an Aaronic priesthood commemoration event in our stake, and we watched the Prophet of the Restoration, Joseph Smith film, the one that's just over an hour long. I love that film. Every time I watch it, it just gives me goosebumps at certain moments. But what was wonderful was seeing the building of that first temple of this dispensation, and how even though it wasn't a functioning temple in terms of the ordinances for the dead that we have now, which was the first one, of course, was not in Nauvoo, it was still in a vital milestone and moment in the preparation of these saints for that time. And so when we read these verses now together, and yourselves, because I invite you to kind of study it yourself as we go through, just reflect on that really, I guess, and how you are in terms of your relationship with the temple. For us in the UK, well, where I'm living in Manchester, our temple, the Preston Temple, is shut and has been shut since the middle of April, and it will be until July. So it's having a major renovation, and we made sure we went on the last day. And it's strange to not be able to just kind of decide to go when we want at this moment. We'd have to drive about 5 or so hours down south to London, which in itself isn't a huge burden compared to some people in the world, but it is an important reminder to me just how vital the temple is. And now we're being blessed in the UK to have another two temples announced within the last 12 months, one in Birmingham, which is only about an hour or so from where we are, and in Edinburgh in Scotland, which, you know, two wonderful blessings for this land, as well as the hundreds of lands that have been, well, hundreds of temples that have been announced in dozens and dozens of lands across the world. I think it's just a wonderful time to be alive as a member of the Lord's Church. So I'm going to skip to verse 4 to start with. It says, "And now we ask thee, Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of thy bosom, in whose name alone salvation can be administered to the children of men, we ask thee, O Lord, to accept of this house the workmanship of the hands of us, thy servants, which thou didst command us to build." A recognition there that the Lord has asked that this temple be built, that it is his home, a place for the saints to come and come closer to him. In verse 7 and 8 we read, "And as all have not faith, seek ye diligently and teach one another words of wisdom. Yea, seek ye out of the best books words of wisdom. Seek learning by study and also by faith. Organize yourselves, prepare every needful thing, and establish a house, even a house of prayer, a house of fasting, a house of faith, a house of learning, a house of glory, a house of order, a house of God." We know the importance of the temple, how it is a house where we can go to develop in many ways, but to learn and to grow. And this invitation here by the Lord to not just grow spiritually, but in the wisdom of the world as well. Elder Dietrich Fuchsdorf said, quote, "You have a duty to learn as much as you can. Please encourage your families, your quorum members, everyone to learn and become better educated. If formal education is not available, do not allow that to prevent you from acquiring all the knowledge you can. Under such circumstances, the best books, in a sense, can become your university, a classroom that is always open and admits all who apply. Strive to increase your knowledge of all that is virtuous, lovely, of good report, or praiseworthy. As you apply the spiritual dimension of faith to your study, even of temporal things, you can amplify your intellectual capacity. For if your eye be single to God's glory, your whole body shall be filled with light and comprehend all things." Close quote. There is a real urgency and push to have the members of the Lord's church become better educated, not just in the matters of the spirit, but in all matters of the world that the Lord himself has created, so that we can gain in knowledge as he has all knowledge. And then this idea that the house that will be built, or preparing a house, and make it be a house of prayer, fasting, faith, learning, glory, order, and a house of God. The temple is a vital place for this to become so. President Nelson said, quote, "In addition to physical preparation, we prepare spiritually. Because of the ordinances and covenants of the temple are sacred, we are under solemn obligation not to speak outside the temple that which occurs in the temple. There are some principles, however, we can discuss. Each temple is a house of learning. There we are taught in the Master's way. His way differs from modes of others. His way is ancient and rich with symbolism. We can learn by pondering the reality for which each symbol stands. Teachings of the temple are beautifully simple and simply beautiful. They are understood by the humble, yet they can excite the intellect of the brightest minds." Close quote. It just underlines the importance that preparation for entering the Lord's house is imperative, not just a intellectual understanding, but becoming worthy. Because when we become worthy to enter the temple, we invite the Spirit into our lives in greater abundance, and in doing so we can then more understand the things of God. If we are not, then they will not be clear to us. And I think that is an important aspect of worthiness, that we sometimes forget that it isn't a case of ticking boxes to make sure we're doing what the Lord has asked us, although that is important. There is purpose behind it, so that we can then receive the Spirit in greater abundance to help open our eyes to the things that we previously may not have understood before that. I want to finish with verse 9 because it's a wonderful verse. "That your incomings may be in the name of the Lord, that your outgoings may be in the name of the Lord, that all your salutations may be in the name of the Lord, with uplifted hands unto the Most High." This idea that our incomings and outgoings all may be in the name of the Lord is repeated in Doctrine and Covenants 88, that this idea that we need to make sure that all we take into our bodies, whether that be physical things or things we consume in media or anything like that, but also all of our outgoings, all of our actions, our deeds, the things we say, are all in the name of the Lord. When we go to the temple, we promise and we make covenant that we will seek to take upon ourselves more fully the name of the Lord, as we did as we showed that we were willing to when we engaged in baptism. And I think that this is a great reminder of just how we need to all look at our lives and just raise it another level to make it more in the name of the Lord, that we can then move forward and have the blessings of the temple more prevalent in our lives. Thank you so much for joining us for this beginning section of the Doctrine and Covenants 109 study. We'll continue with that next week, but we'll go further into our study of Mosiah as we go through this week. Thank you for joining us, and until we meet again,